I was going into the fellowship hall over at Bible where they've got the prophet's room. And the Lord spoke to my heart today and said, do you realize how many people could have got killed if that had happened during the service? You realize what I spared y'all from? Boy, that's right. Only God knows. Oh, He's merciful. I tell you what. You can buy another tent place and you can replace somebody's life. Boy, the devil would make hay out of that, wouldn't he? Well, he might have even used something like that to shut down every tent ministry in America. You never know if something bad would happen. See, you can go down here at the world and you can do all these things the world does and people can get killed and hurt and everything else, like the rock concert up in Cincinnati, Ohio, where all those kids got killed back in the 80s. They never stopped one rock concert because of that. But you let somebody get killed at God's house, they won't shut every one of them down. That's the way it is. Boy, the devil's looking for a reason all the time. This is a strange message tonight to be preaching in a meeting like this, but there's no doubt in my heart, unless God had changed my mind the next 5 minutes, this is absolutely what His will is. And that's what counts. A lot of times we don't do certain things because we're ignorant. It's not that we're in rebellion against God. That's why the Lord has mercy on us. But once He gives us light, then He expects us to obey what He wants us to do. I'm glad that's so. It's like a little child. You don't whip a five-month-old baby for not being able to clean the house. But if you got a 15-year-old that won't even pick their clothes up in their room, then you're going to discipline them because they know better. And where much is given, much is required. And a lot of times, God's people are not in rebellion against God. They're just in ignorance of certain things. And what I want to deal with tonight, your pastor can't really deal with. He wouldn't feel comfortable dealing with this. I don't in my church very much. And you really need another pastor to sort of, or another evangelist to come in and preach things like this. I want to preach tonight with the help of God on the church's responsibility to the pastor. The church's responsibility to the pastor. Now, when you've got God's man, you better not take it for granted. I go in a lot of churches, Brother Stan. I can't preach stuff like this. I have no liberty to. You know why? Because I don't believe they have God's man. I preach revivals in churches that I'm convinced they don't have God's man. It's evident. Now, they are just a struggle. And you say, well, why do you go? You go because God's little sheep's in there, and you go to try to help them. And but I'll tell you what a blessing when you can come to a church and endorse the pastor from your heart, because God's endorsed him to you. That makes all the difference. And in Ephesians 4:11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make of the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The way all of that happens is for these gifts God's given the church to be in operation. And we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have prophets anymore. But we do have evangelists and pastors. And I do believe in the God-called Bible teacher. I believe M.R. DeHaan was one. I believe that Oliver B. Green had the gift to teach. J. Errol Smith has a gift to teach. Many of God's men have a special gift to teach God's people. And what a blessing it is. But the fact that God gives these gifts to the church is not to harm you and hurt you, but to help you, to bring you to the place of maturity, that you'll not be children tossed to and fro. And the reason that so many churches don't have any foundation, and they're just like the wind blowing outside even tonight, just here and there, no stability, no foundation,
is because one of two things. Either they've not ever had anybody to really instruct them, or number two, they've refused God's instruction. Now, I want Brother Eddie to pray for us tonight. No, listen to me now. There's not a man in America that can pray for this church like your pastor. There's not a man in America that has the burden for this church like your pastor. There's not a man in America that loves this church like your pastor. So, Brother Eddie, I want you to pray for us, and let's all pray. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father, we love you. Dear Jesus, God, you touch us now. God, you give us grace and liberty and power, Father, to do the will of God. God, we bless your name for what you're going to do in advance. Thank you, Lord. Oh, dear Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Our glory, God.
Lord, if I need correction tonight, I pray you correct me. Lord, if I need encouraging, I pray you encourage me. God, whatever I need, I pray, just give it to me. Just
God, fill him. Use him, God. Put that great anointing upon him.
Well, thank you for all of you.
Use him, God.
Exactly things in your precious name.
Amen. Praise God. The church's responsibility to the pastor. And if Jesus Christ comes again for the church, the only hope for this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the church is highly exalted in the eyes of God for its great value and its great importance. There's not a community in America that has any idea how important the church is. I wonder how many great tragedies has been avoided even in this area because this church is here. Now, the average American don't understand that, and they take it all for granted. For the church, that's right, is salt with savor and literally bring the blessings of God to a community and to an area. I'll never forget hearing Dr. Percy Ray tell one time about how that he was preaching revival at a church. And the church was needing a new building. And there was a man in the area that used to go to this church. And he was a wealthy man. But he got disgruntled and mad, got out of church, and no longer went to that church or any other church. And one day he was asking the pastor about it. And he told him about him, how he got his feelings hurt. And he went up to see him. And he said, "Now, sir, I hear that you've got your feelings hurt and something's gone wrong in the past." He said, "But let me tell you, you need to help that church build that building. You've got the money. You could help them. You could really be a blessing if you just would." And he said, "Sir, do you understand that that church is blessing you?" He said, "Look around you. How much is this land worth?" And he had cattle on the land, and it was a great piece of property. And the man told him what it was worth. He said, "You know why it's worth that?" He said, "Because God's house is down there, and God's blessings is on this community." He said, "You owe it to God and those people that's left right, and you got blessed because of it." And the man got under conviction and wrote out a big check and gave it to the church. But the average person in this community has no idea the value of having a gospel witness in their community. I believe even a greater tragedy is the lack of discernment in most churches as to the importance of a God-called, God-anointed, God-approved, and God-sent man of God. The greatest gift that God could ever give to a church physically is a God-called pastor and a God-anointed pastor. How the greatest gift God could give us spiritually is revival and a real great move of God. Now, how does that come to pass? It comes to pass by having God's man that can lead God's people in the paths of righteousness and wait before God and believe God and get God's plan and God's instruction. Now the most important person in any community is the God called pastor at the local church. Now, you may not believe that. You're going to find out when you get to heaven how you grieve the Holy Ghost by taking for granted the ministry of a God-called man. I want to tell you right now, preachers have become bywords. They become the offscouring of the earth. They become jokes, and they become the brunt ends of jokes and for stand-up comedians. Let me tell you right now, there's nobody the devil hates like a pastor of a local church that's called of God to a flock. There is no one more important than the shepherd to a flock of sheep. They must have the shepherd. Now there's three things that are absolutely essential for sheep's existence for which they depend on a shepherd. Number one, them being led to green pastures. And number two, led beside the still waters. Number three, led through the dangers of the enemies, the wild dogs, the bears, the lions, the snakes, the enemies that would harm them and destroy them. Now if you know anything about a sheep, you know they have no sense of direction. You know they have no protective device built in them. Otherwise, they can't even fight anything. They're even worse than a skunk. At least a skunk could stink it and something off, but why, a sheep can't even do that. There's nothing that is any more harmless and defenseless than a little sheep. And God made it so. And that's the way you are. I do believe that when you're in God's will, at God's local church, you're under the umbrella of that church and the protection of God. That's why you better be where God wants you to be and stay there. Your family is literally protected by that local congregation. No man had ever owned sheep would entrust them to just anybody. You better understand the sovereignty of God in the selection of a pastor. I want to tell you right now that a man must be qualified and he must be called of God. He must be knowledgeable of the task. And God gives him that ability as he does it. No man has the ability within himself. No man has all the knowledge. We all make blunders, but God teaches us as we go along how to do the work of God. Then a man must have the ability to perform the job. Then he must be committed greatly to the sheep. Now the very word pastor, when we think of that, it's a word that's the same as the word shepherd. It means the same thing. And it is synonymous in the Greek language. Now the pastor must feed the flock. What does he feed them? The things of God. The pastor is the under-shepherd. And Christ is the chief shepherd. And we get our orders and directions from Him. But what should be the church's attitude? What is the church's responsibility to the pastor that God sent there and God has placed there to do a great work? Number one, they should submit to His authority. Now the Bible tells us that God's man is appointed by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. You touch God's authority and you're touching God. And that's why so many churches have so many demons in them, because their members are living according to a satanic principle, and that principle is rebellion. If you go out and you get drunk, that's a sin. That's easily repented of. But the problem with rebellion is it's an attitude. And if it ever gets in you, only God can get it out. And I want to tell you, the devil sets up a stronghold. And people in this day, they don't want to be submitted. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And if the pastor does what they want, they love him. If he don't, then they got to write, run him down, get on the phone, tie him up, shred him up, and I mean destroy his life and his family. God help us. I want to tell you, when God gets through with this nation and the churches that have destroyed God's men, I want to tell you, it's going to be a day of reckoning. I know there's a bunch of jacklegs. I know they're charlatans, and they'll get theirs. But these churches that have been preacher tillers, they're going to get theirs. Their children are going to go to hell. Their communities are going to remain lost. And at the judgment seat, they're going to lose what little rewards they could have earned. Now, in Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. You cannot find the man of God. God sends him. Are you listening? Listen, you can't hire him and you can't fire him. He's appointed by God. Now listen to me. This church or any other church, when the pastor moves on and God's going to send another, this church can't move one centimeter forward until God's man shows up. Deacons can't lead it. The women can't lead it. The charter members can't lead it. And the businessmen can't lead it. There's only one man that can get God's direction and lead the church, and that is the man of God. Israel never got out of Egypt until the man of God showed up. Amen. Now, if God chooses a pastor, if God approves of him, if God anoints him, you shouldn't have any problem following him. Are you listening? Hey, if we'll submit to God, now listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. I'm not telling you something I don't know now. There's a lot of things I don't know much about. What I'm telling you tonight, I know a little bit about. If you will submit to God, He will put your pastor in your heart. Just like He put you in His heart. And if you ever get the two together, you've got a bonding. And there must be that bonding. If a church is to ever do a great work for God, He's appointed by God. He has given God a given authority. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. God said it again. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. God said it again. Hebrews 13:24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. See, I don't believe God's man ought to rule God's house. Well, what I just read. God said He's got the rule over you. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That same word for rule, it's translated chief in Luke 22:26, and governor in Acts 7:10. God's man's the governor. He's the chief. He's the under-shepherd. He's the ruler at God's house. You say, I don't like that. Take it up with God. I'm going to tell you right now, hey, Daddy, if you'll get submitted to your pastor, your old hellish wife might get submitted to you. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason there's so much hell in the home is we will not submit to God's line of authority. Now, are you listening? God's pastor has received power and authority, not from the church. He didn't get it from you. He got it from God. He's preside over the church. Is he a dictator? No. Not in those terms that we think of. Why does a preacher, and by the way, voting in the New Testament church, you won't find much biblical basis for that. Now, why does a man do that? Why does a pastor have votes? You know why? Because God showed him to do something. He wants to find out the pulse of that congregation. He wants to find out if they're willing to follow the will of God. And if they're not, you can't go forward. So we have a vote. I want to tell you, when God's man stands up and says, listen, I've prayed, I've fasted, I know I've heard from God, follow what He says, and God will bless you. Now God's pastors have received authority. Christ expects obedience and then honor to be given to the man of God. Rule means authority. You know what's wrong with some of you? You ain't believing half what I'm saying. You know what? You're going to have the curse on you till you die. If you can't get in line here, you won't get in line nowhere else. 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God. It's what God told your pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. He's to take the oversight. Now listen to me. The under shepherd will give an account for that. He's going to answer to God for it. Now let me tell you, we're to obey and to submit. God didn't say always agree, but He did say to obey. I don't agree with everything my pastor used to do. But I never once stood up and bucked him, I guarantee you that. Hey, I hope I got more brains than that. Some people ain't got the guts to publicly stand. So they'll get on the phone and go to the members and run them down and sow discord and keep paying the church in an attitude of not being behind the pastor. And that's what grieves God as sure as you're here. Hebrews 13 says, you say, we ain't got that problem here. You got a little bit of problem because it's too tight in here for you not to have a problem. Hey, you wasn't guilty of the power in here that swing from the rafters. Amen. In Hebrews 13:17, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Now, the man of God is appointed. He's given authority. And then thirdly, the reason you can follow him, he's given ability. Every pastor has a different ability. But the health and the prosperity, the safety of those sheep depend on the shepherd. God gives his under-shepherds special ability to lead the flock. He gives them a special love and a special wisdom. God's appointed under-shepherd will have the grace and the patience and the long-suffering that stay with the flock in the desert time and the winter time and the rain time and the snow time. I'm going to tell you, only God's man will have the grace to put up with your belly aching and your murmuring and your complaining and you stressing him out and getting on his nerves. Are you listening? There's enough of this little silly mess that goes on in the church. It ain't nothing but a bunch of childishness. God gives the under shepherd love that no other man's got. Then a man in this church loves his church like your pastor does. Because God's given him a special love. God anointed, God appointed, under shepherd. I ain't talking about every pastor now, are you listening? I'm talking about God's man. God's anointed, God's appointed, under shepherd. Will love and lead the flock like nobody else. Nobody else has the ability. Listen, every pastor may not have the same ability, but nobody can feed this flock like your pastor can. No one has the burden for the flock like he does. Nobody will try to win the loss like he will. He'll fight for the flock. He'll be willing to lay his life on the line for the flock because God put it in his heart. Now, you've got to have confidence in that. Matthew 13:20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Say, well, I don't receive our pastor. Well, you just rejected God. Say, I don't believe that. Do you believe anything I'm reading tonight? Do you believe the King James Bible? Yeah. Jesus said, if you don't receive him, you don't receive me. Whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I'm going to tell you something. God help you. A Baptist to get in the Word of God. He's a little wimpy. Folks that come by try to bust your church up. You don't have enough sense from God to see when the devil is trying to sow discord among the pastor and the church. I don't care how sweet they are, bless God. They're full of hell if they try to separate you from the pastor. Supply his needs, number two. Submit to his authority, number two. Supply his needs. What did God tell the children of Israel when they got to Canaan land? He said, you better do three things. Don't you forget God's precepts. Don't you forget God's place. And you better not forget God's priest. Now, if the church is able, now listen to me. I'm not somebody here in the left field. If the church is able, finances should never be a burden to your pastor. I'll tell you, I hope you folks down here has got a little more sense than some of them mountain churches up in Tennessee and North Carolina. Their attitude is, God, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. And if you look at them churches, they stay real small. Why? They're not blessed of God, that's why. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Hey, you know what? You'd be surprised how many people think a pastor ought to work a full-time job. not even think worthy to be supported by the church. Boy, I know I'm on target tonight. 1 Corinthians 9:7 says, who goeth to warfare any time in his own charges? He's a warring one. Jesus says, and who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? He's a planting one. Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? He's a feeding one. 1 Corinthians 9:9, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? He's a plowing one. You know what God's just saying here? How many of you would send our boys to the Persian Gulf War and not give them a uniform? And not give them pay? And not give them food to eat? And not take care of them? They're putting their life on the line. I'm going to tell you right now, most preachers don't live to be old, and they have about 15 heart attacks before they die because of the stress of the local church, and he's literally laying his life on the line. He is God's general in this church. He's a warring one. And God said, you're to take care of him. God said, you're not to muzzle the mouth of the ox and tread about the corn. Or who saith he, yet altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, it is written, he that ploweth should plow in hope, he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now why is it you always got these tightwads, skin flints, that if you ever give the pastor a raise, they'll pout for a year? Bless God, the next time you get a raise at work, turn it back in. Hey, are you listening to me? You've got benefits. He ain't God. I'm going to tell you right now, he can die any minute. His wife will be put out in the road. I'll tell you right now, and every church won't even give her a gallon of milk to go down the road with. And he's put his life on the line, and God has said that he, when he plows, he's a plowing hope. If we've sown unto you spiritual things, now listen to this, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now listen to me. I ain't talking about me. I'm not talking about this revival thing. You get your mind where it's at. It's your pastor I'm talking about. Now are you listening? Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, I ain't reading out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. That's God's Word. You say, well, I don't know this thing about tithing. You don't even know what you're talking about. Hey, in the Old Testament, they didn't tithe 10%. They gave 3 offerings a year. They gave an offering to the priest. They gave an offering to the temple. And they gave a benevolent offering. And it came up to 25 to 30%. Now, dag on that. I'm going to tell you right now, we're so worried about getting it down to the penny. We don't love God. We're trying to use God as a spare tire, and we'll pinch on God, and that old tightwad attitude will come out when the pastor needs some help. I want to ask you a question. How often do you give him a raise? Where was this church at when he come here? Go back and check the record. What was the offerings a week? How many people come here? How many people's God saved since this man's been here? Hey, if you don't like him, somebody else will. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to do the best you can for him. Hey, listen to me. You say, but it'll ruin him. No, it won't ruin him. God will bless you. And it'll humble him that you love him enough to take care of him. He's got some boys that's going to be going to college. He's got a van, looks to me like the thing's got 500,000 miles. You'd dig if you'd buy him a car. But, hey, listen to me. You say, well, he's doing better than me. He's close to God's chair. He's worthy of double honor. That's right. I'll tell you, he's fighting devils and demons in hell and begging God to save your children. You ain't got the slightest idea what it does to a man's body to preach. You ain't got a clue. Man, fighting against devils and demons, trying to gag him and fighting him. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know the heavy load that he carries on his shoulders if he ain't worthy of it. And my God, who is? Don't you forget his family either. Listen, if you've got a bone to pick with him, don't go pick it with his wife. You leave her alone. She ain't got time for you. She ain't got time for your little old pity parties. Hey, do you want? I ain't talking about carrying burdens. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm talking about there's no sword that cuts like that old sword of subtlety, how we stick it in each other by subtle humor. You keep her tore up half the time and her heart broke. I'll tell you right now, you better not forget his family. Hey, be good. Every couple months buy her a dress. Amen. Hallelujah. Every year put aside some money to buy him some suits and take care of it.
Amen.
You know, if you're right with God, you can shout on this. You say, we'll make a Jim Baker out of him. He ain't got no air conditioning doghouse. He probably ain't got a dog. Now, submit to his authority. Number two, supply his needs. Supply his needs. You say, well, you know what's wrong with some of you? You're so stinking jealous you can't even see straight. You're scared that he's going to make $10 more a week than you do. Hey, God said worthy of double honor. Submit to his authority, supply his needs. Number three, support his ministry. You do that by, number one, respecting him. I'm going to tell you something. Listen. Your pastor, I honor him. Hey, I respect him. This is his, listen, this is his pulpit. And I tell you what, he's an authority here. If he wants me to sit down right now, I'll sit down right now. Hey, he's a big dog around here if you want to know what I think about it. He's in charge. He's the boss. Hey, I know God's in charge, but it's physical representation. He is the under-shepherd. You know what his name is? It ain't Eddie. His brother, or pastor, or preacher is. See, when you start calling him by his first name and don't give him that due respect, then you get to thinking he's one of the boys and you can just take him for granted. I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back. He ain't one of the boys. Never will be. God won't let him be. And if it's time to be, he'll lose his authority with the people. And he knows that. Number two, be a friend to him. The physical, the mental, the financial, the spiritual stress he's under is more sometimes than he can bear. How refreshing is it to know that through thick and thin, he's got some that'll stand with him. Well, I tell you something. I'm just going to use him for an example because I've watched him. I've watched old Joe. Boy, I've watched him. Boy, if you had a church full like that, hallelujah, you'd have a revival. Hey, number three, defend your pastor. I'll tell you right now, if your ears are garbage cans for everybody to run him down, they some bad road with your heart. Romans 10:15, and it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, have peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what God thinks of him. God said he's got beautiful feet. You think of that. I'll tell you something. He ain't an ordinary man. God said his feet are beautiful. You know why? Those precious feet. I'm not trying to be funny. And I know it may seem that way. That's precious feet. I wonder how many old boys ain't going to hell because those feet carried him. They'll preach the gospel. Hey, I'm telling you, God said how precious are the feet. I'll tell you what, half of us, we ought to feel we ain't even fit to shine his shoes. A man that carries God's holy word and has God's anointing, he is the greatest blessing in this world to a community. You say, well, I think that pastors get too much respect. Well, you just showed you've got a green-eyed monster inside of you. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. I'll tell you something right now. If I wasn't a pastor of a church, and I was a member again, which I may be someday, I don't know. Brother Eddie, if you was my pastor, if by God giving me grace, if I couldn't follow you, I'd leave in peace. Amen.
Hey, it ain't your way versus my way. Your opinion versus my opinion. Hey, if I just can't follow it, if it's that far out of biblical line, I'll leave, but I ain't going to tear it up. Hey, I want him to win souls. It might be my boy, my neighbor, and it's up to him. And God will give him the blessing to win them unless I criticize him where they have no confidence in him. Isn't it amazing how many people will love you, will have confidence in you till you tell them you're not going to listen to their gossip? And isn't it amazing? Now listen to me. Every one of you got influence. You better guard it with everything you got. I went Monday. I had to preach the funeral Tuesday. And I went Monday to witness to some people. And I went into the house of a woman. I didn't understand this. She'd come to church the last three Sundays. And since she started coming, her husband and her have never been to church but a few times in 22 years of marriage. Her and her husband came. Her young boy came. Then her two older boys came. Some of them, two of them, or one of them's married. The other one is old enough to be out of school. The other one is about the eighth grade. Do you know why they came to that the church I'm at? I've never met them in my life. I'd prayed for them because I'd been asked to. I'll tell you why. Because there's an old woman got saved not long back in the church. Oh, she was rough. And God saved her. And she got to bragging to them about me. She said, he's God's man. He ain't one of these gym makers. He ain't a swagger. He loves God. And he preaches the word of God. He's right. If you'll get down there, he can help you. And because they had confidence in her and saw what God done for her, they took her word for it. And they've been coming. And on the verge of getting saved, everyone. You know why? She didn't go out trying to run me down. I'm going to tell you right now, you might see some folks in your pastor, and if you've got eyes, you will. He's human. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the God of man that'll win souls, a man that'll preach the gospel. Can't you see how that the good outweighs any little bit of bad you might find in his life? Pastor, to be an example of God's men, he's to be an example of a beacon shining in the community. You know what, Brother Tim, and I know I've talked to you about this before, and I've talked to Brother David Harrison. I've seen it happen to both these men. I cannot comprehend people that a man wins to Jesus, turn him on him. I cannot understand that. A man that wins people's children to God. A man that wins their brothers and sisters and their parents and friends. And then the first thing comes up, they're ready to knock him. Hey, that's out of hell and it's the devil. You know what's wrong with us Americans? We ain't loyal to nothing no more. We ain't loyal to our wife, and we're not loyal to our husband. And even a man lays his life on the line, the priest does, we ain't even loyal to him. Because we're not loyal to God. Tell you right now, you say, well, all you preachers do preach three times a week. You've got about enough sense, and you might ought to go ahead and get committed somewhere. I'll tell you right now, you understand how long it takes to prepare a real message. You understand how much hell you got to fight through to find the mind of God. You understand the burden a man carries. Hey, I know you don't understand. Because if you did, you'd respect your pastor. Amen. You better be loyal to the man that's feeding your soul. You better be loyal to the man that's laboring for your soul. Boy, I'm so glad you got some good deacons here. Hallelujah. You say, how do you know they're good? Because your pastor told me they're good. Praise God, if they wasn't, he wouldn't be saying they're good. Tell you something, Brother Joe, you men, they might listen, praise God, and there ain't nobody in this world any better than a good deacon to a pastor besides his good wife. And this man's got both, and the devil's going to do everything he can to break up and shake up and tear up what God's doing. And this crowd that'll try to tie it down, they're just jealous because they ain't in authority having their way. If the enemy takes out the under-shepherd, who's going to protect you against the wolves? What you going to do? Acts 20:29, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Hey, how do you encourage this pastor? Hey, how do you support him by being faithful to church? You don't know how discouraging it is. I'm telling you, well, if God don't give a man enough maturity to get passion, he ain't even fit to preach sometimes if he comes to church and sees the lack of faithfulness at God's house. discouraging. You think about a man. Now, I know folks get sick. I'm not talking about reasonable things. But I'm talking about a man that prepares and labors and agonizes. Run all day long. Visiting sick folks, doing this and that, and gets along with God. And he wants to give the people, God's given them something. And he labors and fights the devil. And the phone's ringing off the hook. Everybody's aggravating him in body. Let me tell you, if you ain't got something important to talk to him about, leave him alone. I know that sounds crude, and I'm not trying to be crude. And I'm telling you right now, there's a time of the day a man needs to get with God. He don't need everybody calling him and talking about everything under God's heaven. Amen. God will use you. The devil will use you to mess him up. But he comes with the bread to put on the table. And everybody's eating so much junk food of the devil in the world, they ain't even interested enough to come and eat. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if Brother Eddie's wife fixed a big old meal for his family like at Thanksgiving, and they stopped down the road and got filled up on candy and potato chips, it would be an insult to her and hurt her feelings and be upset if they thought more. They didn't even think enough of her labor, her time, her effort, even come with an appetite. Gee. And you say, well, my pastor don't feed me. You can't feed somebody that ain't got an appetite. The number one thing in being a big eater, you got to have an appetite. And you can tell some of us ain't got any problems along that line. Amen. I'm telling you, you just don't know how discouraging that is. I mean, a man got something folks need to hear. I mean, something that'll help them. Boy, he says, glory to God if they'll get a hold of this. It'll help them be a better husband to their wife and wife to their husband. And their family will be better off. And it might get somebody saved. And he's all excited and they don't even show up. You ought to be an encouragement and say, preacher, if I'm not in the hospital or in heaven, I'll be there. Amen. You need to pray for him. Pray for him. The greatest thing you can do for your pastor is to pray for him. That's the greatest thing. You know why? You know what? You can always tell these folks praying for their pastor because they don't fight him. Them that's fighting him, they ain't doing no praying for him. Ha ha. You mark that down. You say, what in the world? I'm saying, praise God. That's a little bit of wisdom. Won't cost you nothing. If you pray for him, you won't talk much about it. God won't let you. Paul was a man of prayer. He begged Christians everywhere to pray for him. I mean, here's the greatest man of God that's lived in the church age when after Christ went to heaven and the chiefest of the apostles needed prayer and begged for folks to pray for him. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What's in there too with all perseverance and supplication for all saints? And for me. He says, well, if you do, don't you forgive me. What did Paul pray for? Boy, we think of Paul, man, here's a guy, man, got a backbone like a crowbar, never backed down, wasn't ever afraid, had the fear of man never even come in his heart. Well, that ain't, listen, you don't know. Listen, he said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Because he said, there's some times I've not been bold. There's some times my knees have got weak. There's some times that when I should have stood that I didn't have the grace to. You pray that God will give me utterance. So it means the ability to preach the gospel in simplicity that men can understand it. Then you pray, God, give me boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. He said it again. Boldly is all to speak. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5, the brethren, pray for us. There it is again. And I'm just giving you a few examples. Pray for us. Why? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now watch this. What that means, free course means, is that it'll run well. That it won't be hindered. That when he stands up and preaches, the word of God will run well. Now, I mentioned a moment ago messages like this are more instructive than anything. And I don't have a lack of liberty now. I'm not bound up. But what I'm saying, a moment ago, I was feeling that friction. I was feeling that rebellion. Hey, I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to tell you how to have a great church. I'm trying to tell you, if you get lined up with God, and this pastor lines up with God, you get lined up together, God will make this church a great church. And nothing will be able to stop it. Now, if you're interested in that, and if you're saved, you ought to be. I'm here tonight to beg you to pray for this man. I'm here tonight to plead with you to pray for him. I'm here tonight to ask you men to pray for him. I'm here tonight to ask you women to pray for him. Prayer is a ministry. Luke 2, 36 through 38. And we find about Anna walked with God and she prayed in the temple. 1 Timothy 5, 5 and 6. Those old widows were the best prayer warriors. Boy, they gave their real widow, one that really prays and shows her faith and is mighty with God. Continuing instant in prayer is the description of how this woman prays. Now, you love your pastor tonight? Praise God, y'all are telling. And you say, well, you know, I have a heart, bless God. Why have you got a hard time? Some of you men, bless God, you can't even tell your wife you love her. You're so proud. And you wonder why, what's wrong down there at the house. I'll tell you what's wrong. You don't ever show affection. And you won't ever talk to her. You don't ever tell her things she wants to hear. Take everything for granted. And I'll tell you right now, your pastor needs to encourage him when he's preached and poured his soul out. And the demons of hell jump on him when he stands at that door and shakes your hand. You need to appreciate him and let him know. Yeah. He is a blessing. You say, what if he ain't? Make it. Pray for him. Unify to glorify. Oh, what a powerful force when you get together. Hey, you've got all the ingredients here, every one of them. All the ingredients. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You understand how excited this pastor gets when he hears folks like his lady testify? You listen, there's nobody in here that gets as excited as he does when he sees you growing in God because he loves you so much. No, listen, you better treat him right because if you don't at the judgment, it's either going to be joy or grief. God said he's going to give an account of the judgment. God's going to ask him if you back him up. God's going to ask him if you support him. And if he thinks you did and you didn't, God's going to show him what you was like. And he may do it with joy and not with grief. You want your family blessed? You want this community blessed? You got all the ingredients here if you'll just do what God says do. And then don't fight him. If you do, you're going to curse your community. I'll tell you something right now. You take these jack legs, take off somebody else's wife, you look what happens to that community. Have you watched it? Have you watched what happens to the church? Somebody else comes in, tries to pick up the pieces, tries to go on. Everything's against him. Goes down the street, tries to witness, and somebody's done so much damage to the name of God, they can't hardly get anything done. 2 Chronicles takes years sometimes to ever get the name back. 2 Chronicles 36, listen to this right quick. Verse number 15, here we go. Bible says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up, be times, that means over and over. Sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Listen, folks, God must think a lot of y'all to give you the kind of pastor you got. If you can't say amen to that, what are you doing a member of this church? Bless God, I wouldn't be a member of a church I couldn't back. Amen. Hey, you've been honored. You've been privileged. You say, well, you don't know him like I do. You better be glad I don't know you like he does, too. They mock the messenger of God and despise his words, misuse his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there's no remedy. God said their number one sin was they mistreated my messengers. Then you'll curse your family. Old Korah thought they could rise up. Miriam even thought she could rise up against Moses. And man, they cursed their family. You'll curse yourself, Numbers 12. You know what happened when Miriam stood up against Moses? All of Israel stood still 7 days. You get somebody in the church trying to run down the preacher. You know what? They always got honey running out of their mouth. Always, you know. They're so sweet. And they're so kind. And they're so humble. And they deceive ignorant people. He said, that offends me. I hope not to offend you. Just grow up in God and you won't be seized and deceived. Hey, got honey running down the sides of their mouth, and they always ease in. Hey, we love our pastor, but he's a good man, but I agree with that, but hey, you know what that but is? That's a billy goat. Many a good preacher has been broken, destroyed, because of rebellious church members. You'll grieve the Spirit of God off your family, your life, your church. Isaiah 54:17 says, Brother, you can shout praise God all the way to heaven with this. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. You know what, one reason God so honors his men? Because most of them ain't like me. Most of them's got are pretty smart and pretty sharp. You know what your pastor could do? He could easily make $50,000, $75,000 a year if he wasn't a preacher. No, amen. He's got that kind of a mind. He's got that kind of ability. And he's laid it on the line for you, and God's honoring him for it. But you better do the best by him you can. You better love him, honor him, encourage him. I tell you something. I don't know. Brother Eddie hadn't told me, and I don't want to know. I don't care. He don't have to tell me. I'm not going to ask him what y'all give him a week. But I tell you something. I feel sort of in my soul. You need to help him a little more. I just do. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But if something ain't right here, y'all better take care of him like God said. You say, well, he ain't going to do it. Well, you better get ready. He's about to pack his bags. Because somebody will. Somebody wants the truth. I want to tell you something. Somebody will back him. Somebody will stand with him. I want to ask you something, men. How many of you every year, do you ever talk about this? Do you ever say, you know what? God's blessing the offerings. We got some left over. Well, let's encourage our pastor. Let's take him up a special offering. Let's be good to him. Let's show him we love him. I'm glad y'all ain't up here. Hallelujah. Seeing some of these looks. Hey, I didn't say me now. I'm not preaching this for me. You haven't one time heard me mention my name. And you know what? If you're offended at me for saying this, if you give me anything, tell me what it is, and I'll give it back to you. But I'm here to help this pastor. And I'm here to obey God, and this is exactly what God said you need to hear tonight. And nobody's hardly here but you. And God and this pastor. So God had it all worked out so we could get in line. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes.